This particular feast of Christmas happens to fall on a Sunday this year, but it could fall in any time during the week. It's always the eighth day of Christmas, and for most of us who are kind of rooted in a kind of a secular calendar, it's New Year's. That's what it means to us. Happy New Year's to you, by the way. But on the church's calendar, it kind of has an identity conflict or an identity problem because there's so many different things it's been called. Now, on the old Latin Mass calendar, it's still called the Feast of the Circumcision of the Lord because it's right here. On the eighth day, as any pious Jewish family, Jesus would be taken to the local rabbi or to the leaders in the synagogue, and he'd be circumcised, and his name would be both given and announced. And so not only is it the Feast of the Circumcision, it's also the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. You know, you should bow your head at the name of Jesus. Amen. So again, we have already the Feast of the Circumcision. We have the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. It's also called the Octave Day of Christmas. It's also known to us, and probably the most ancient title of the feast is the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. And she received that title at the Council of Ephesus, where they were emphasizing that Jesus is one person with two natures. And so Mary is rightfully called the Mother of God because Jesus is God. And again, we would never say, well, my mother is the mother of my body, but not my soul. So we don't divide up Jesus either in all kinds of different ways. So I'll leave it at that. But just to say, there's a lot of identity issues related to this feast day. But here on this feast of Mary, the mother of God, I would speak to you a little bit about a kind of a pastoral vision that I have for the parish. And I want to tell you why I think 2017 is going to be a very important year. And I'm not thinking of politics or anything that tiny. God's vision is much bigger than what's going on in American politics. So I hope to lay the groundwork for you and then come right out and tell you why I think it's going to be an important year. But let's do this by way of recollection first. Last week at this time, it was Christmas Day, and we celebrated an event on which all human history pivots. In fact, our calendars changed. We now enumerate our years, at least in the Western world, based on the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the year 2017, Anno Domini. That is to say, it is the year of our Lord, 2017. 2017 years since his birth. Time stood still and began again on Christmas Day. A pivotal event. It was very hidden. Only a few knew about it. The shepherds and some magi from the east who visited. And so here it is, this most pivotal event of human history, where it's kind of a daring raid of our Lord Jesus behind enemy lines. And it's done stealthy. It's stealthy and it's hidden. And yet, it's pivotal. Almost nobody knew about it. Even Satan, to whom we often give exaggerated credit for what he can know and do, wasn't aware. He begins to become suspicious at the visit of the Magi. But even there, he's not sure. And he stabs wildly through Herod, his agent, trying to kill this child by sadly killing all the boys under 2 years of age in that region. So Satan himself is confused, and he's looking and searching, and he doesn't know who is this Messiah, who is this king who's been born, who is in my kingdom, my lair, who is unsettling my holdings. He's not sure. And he stabs wildly looking for him. And Jesus escapes his grasp. And for 30 years, secretly prepares for a 3-year mission to preach and teach in a 3-hour battle to suffer and die and rise on the third day. And so it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that such a pivotal event of his birth was largely hidden. And unknown. Now, I say all that by way of background, getting back to what I wanted to begin with, which is that I think the year 2017 is going to be a very important year for our world and especially for the church. Why do I say that? Well, first and foremost, because it is the 2017, it is the 100th anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima in 1917. And here we are at 2017. So 100 years ago, Our Lady appeared at Fatima. Now, you are not required as a Catholic to accept these private revelations that come. On the other hand, Scripture does say that God does not, in the book of Micah, in the third chapter, it says, God never acts without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. And I think that if you really were to look carefully at the apparitions of Our Lady at Fatima, you will see that everything she said there 100 years ago has come true. Historically, everything she said in 1917, looking to this 100 years that we've been through, has been true. Now, what did she say? And I don't have time to develop all of it with you. Whole books have been written on this. But let's just say she revealed, first of all, three fundamental visions to the children. They were called secrets because they were not revealed immediately, but were given to the bishop, who then later revealed them. But the first vision was a vision of hell, and Our Lady warned that sadly many people sin and die and go to hell, and it's a very terrible place, and spread the word, hell is awful, don't go there. The second vision, though, is important historical significance for us. It was 1917, and one of the most awful, terrible, and bloody wars that the world had ever known was ending. It was called the First World War. Most of us have studied very little about it, but let me just say to you that the horror and aversion that we have today for chemical warfare was found there. Horrifying warfare and tactics. Whole towns and areas were wiped out through chemical warfare. Millions died in that war. It was the worst, most awful, bloody war that Europe or the populated world had ever really known until that point. And it was finally coming to an end. And Our Lady said, this war will end soon, she said to the children. However, if you do not pray and people will not listen to my son and will not repent and consecrate the world, consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart, I promise you that a very tragic second war will come. And so again, her warning was fundamentally one of peace, but she said, if you don't pray and you don't repent and you don't obey the teachings of my son, a far worse thing will happen. And she said something very odd in 1917. She said that the nation of Russia, which by, at that time was a very poor, rural country, largely Christian though, would spread the error of atheism throughout the world. It would crush nations and many would suffer and die. Now, as you probably know, that as that war ended, she said, I will give you a sign, she said, that the second war is about to begin, a final warning. And it'll be a sign of great lights in the skies and the heavens. In 1938, in January of 1938, an outbreak of the Aurora Borealis that the world had never seen before, it was reported in all the newspapers, you can go back and on the internet and find it. A display of the Aurora Borealis occurred further south than anyone had ever seen it before, all the way into southern Italy to northern Africa. People saw the whole sky lit up with the northern lights. Later that same month, Germany invaded Czechoslovakia, and later that next year, invaded Poland, and the Second World War began. A terrible war, a horrifying war. Millions were killed for ideological purposes, millions more in the war. And at the end of the war, as you know, the Iron Curtain fell, and atheistic communism through China and through the Soviet Union spread its errors throughout the world. Many were martyred for the faith. Many lived in grave oppression for many, many decades through atheistic communism. All the things that Our Lady had said came true. There was a third secret that she gave, and it was only revealed in the year 2000. It was kept secret by the Vatican because it involved the Pope. And it was basically said that there would be a martyrdom of the Pope and many others with him. And the final vision was given of a Pope, a bishop dressed in white, certainly the Pope, going up a barren hillside in a ruined city, up near a cross on a hill. And as he passed by thousands of martyrs on either side and others crying out in famine and emaciated and suffering persecution. And at the top of that hill, he was assassinated, killed. And Pope John Paul said that this vision, he was convinced it was about his own, the assassination attempt that was made on his life. And the only reason he wasn't killed is that the prayers of some of the faithful and the intercession of Our Lady, God staved that bullet just enough so that although he was gravely injured, he did not die. And then he was finally able to release that secret. And again, all of these are ways I'm trying to show you that Our Lady prophesied things all the way back in 1917, which all came true. And so there's a lot of credibility. There's one final part of the apparition that has also been proved true. In 1981, Sister Lucia, the only surviving visionary of the three children, wrote to Monsignor Caffara in the Vatican at that time. This is all the way back in 1981, and she said, "The final showdown is coming. Now that atheistic communism in Russia has been crushed, there is a final showdown, and Satan will attack the church and the world, and the fundamental attack will be on marriage and the family and sexuality." And here we are. That final showdown. And she said, and then the end will come. Now, what is that end? I would argue that it's the end of a 100-year period of severe persecution that the church was asked to endure, I suspect by the Lord, in order to purify us. You know, the church has been under tremendous attack, and sadly, we haven't always responded very well. And even within the church, there have been divisions. When I was a child back in the early 60s, almost 80% of Catholics went to Mass every Sunday, now less than 20%. Seminaries were full, convents were full, they emptied. We went through a revolution in this country, a cultural revolution. You've heard of the terrible scandals that afflicted the church, and likewise within the church, all kinds of debates and arguments over everything from liturgy to doctrine and all kinds of struggles. And this final showdown has come to this. It's about marriage, it's about sexuality, and it's about the family. I don't need to translate all that for you, do I? All these debates we've had, the terrible problem of divorce, the terrible problem of sexual promiscuity, so-called gay marriage, and on I go. This final attack of Satan. Now, it's called final because I believe not that the end of the world is coming, but that the end of a powerful period of persecution may be upon us, but it's going to take a long time to clean up the mess. Now, that's why my pastoral vision in this 100th anniversary, and there's a second reason I think this 100-year period, Pope Leo also had a vision in the late 1800s that a 100-year period of persecution was coming for the church. And so alarmed was he by that vision he received that he composed a prayer that many of you know very well. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickednesses and snares of the devil. Oh, may God rebuke him. We humbly pray, and do you, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And so Pope Leo saw a 100-year period coming where the church would be sorely tried. Her faith would be challenged by the world and even within, and that cardinal would be against cardinal, and at the highest levels of the church, there would be corruption and problems. And all of this so saddened him that he asked us to pray that prayer every day after Mass. And even to this day, many parishes, we still pray that prayer at the end of Mass on weekdays. Now, I say all this to you because I'm going to ask that in this coming year, beginning in March, that this parish keep the first Saturday devotions. It's the 100th anniversary of Fatima, and Our Lady asked that we would keep as a devotion 5 consecutive first Saturdays. Pray the rosary, go to confession, go to Mass and receive communion, and pray for the conversion of this world, and pray for an end of satanic attacks. And that's our job, and this year is always our job. Even if you neglect or think that everything I just said to you is a bunch of hokum and all, you don't believe all that stuff, do you, Father? Listen, there is one thing that you can't reject, and that's the call to prayer. We're all called to pray. And I would ask you, I'll be saying more of this and doing some catechesis and arranging some things, but starting in March, on the first Saturdays, I want to start First Saturday Devotions, and I want this to be a very special year of prayer. I believe that the 100 years that were prophesied began in 1917 and are concluding now at about 2017. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to get just peachy. What will happen? Will it be something that everybody sees? Padre Pio, for example, talked about 3 days of darkness where people would have their sins revealed to them by God himself, and they would finally repent and call on the name of the Lord. Others have suggested it may be a more secret event like Christmas was, that hidden event where something happens. We don't know it. It'll only be known later. But I believe this is a significant year. Prophecies, the Lord does nothing without first revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. And so, pray with me this year. I wish you a blessed and a happy new year. I think it's going to be a wonderful year, a year of many blessings and graces, but it may also be a difficult year. I only say all these things to you to say that in all of it, God's in control. But he asked us through his blessed mother, and he asked us through all the saints, and he's asking you through me right now, let's pray together. Let's spend special time this year to really pray for the conversion of sinners, starting with ourselves, for the conversion of sinners and for the conversion of this world, so that many will return to God. And once again, all will know their need for mercy, call for that mercy, and receive that mercy. This is a wonderful year that's begun. It may be a difficult year, but it's always, I think, going to be remembered as an important and a wonderful year. So pray with me this year of our Lord, 2017. Amen.